Hello there, podcast aficionados. Welcome to the Credo Cast, where I, John Doherty, the founder of Credo, speak with marketing agency owners and consultants, as well as the occasional entrepreneur, of course, to dissect how they got started, what they wish they had done differently in building their business and career, and more. Really quick, what is Credo? Credo, getcredo.com, is a marketplace that connects businesses looking to grow their business with the right digital marketing agency or consultant for them. This is based off of their budget, types of services needed, and more. Finding an agency or consultant is hard, so Credo exists to make that easier. I saw my friends who own small businesses themselves hiring bad agencies or consultants and then having to spend even more money to fix those problems. So I started Credo. Every agency or consultant on the platform is vetted to the highest quality, so you can be sure that you're getting the best in the industry. So if you're a business looking to hire an agency or a consultant, or if you're an agency or consultant looking to get more clients, visit getcredo.com today to get started. I should also mention one of my favorite tools that I use to run my business as a solo entrepreneur. It's called Bench, bench.co. They take care of my bookkeeping for me. It's not often that someone raves about bookkeeping, but I actually look forward to my quarterly catch-ups with my bookkeeper. Bench is doing it right, and they make my life as a solo entrepreneur easier. So if you go to getcredo.com/bench, that's getcredo.com/bench, and sign up from there, you'll get your first month free. All right, on to the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another version of the Credo Cast, where I, John Doherty, the founder of Credo, take the time to talk with agency owners, consultants, freelancers, that sort of thing in the marketing world about how they got their start, how they're growing their businesses, and all those good things, trying to glean some important lessons for all of you. So today I have with me Aaron Aegis, as he just told me, as in I haven't seen you in ages, who is the co-founder of Louder Online, which is a digital marketing agency. Aaron himself is Australian, but they have offices around the world. And I last met up with him in San Francisco, and we'll probably see him in other cities around the world in the coming year. So Aaron, welcome to the show. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, about Louder Online, and give us the beginning story and how you knew it was time to do your own thing in the marketing world.
Sure. So firstly, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And yes, we'll be meeting up in other cities in the very near future. Firstly, I'm co-founded Louder Online. So we're a search and content marketing agency, about 50 people strong at the moment, distributed throughout the world. We have most of our clients are actually US-based. We've got Canada, Australia, pretty much every continent around the world. Our main focus is on helping clients from funded startups through to large established businesses. So we work with Salesforce, Coca-Cola, IBM, Intel, a whole range of those big companies. In terms of how we got started, I find this an interesting story, so I don't mind telling this. My girlfriend at the time was in marketing for IBM. A big marketing manager, and I was in IT. And we had sold up everything that we had and decided to go spend an extended period of time traveling through Asia. And so we were living in Thailand at the time in a villa on the end of an island and decided that we really needed to find a way where we could do what we were doing full time, which was do the whole geo arbitrage thing, earn a strong currency and live on a weak one and benefit massively. So we spent some time while we were there researching online how people were making money, and all these people are talking about making money online, and we thought, there's obviously some truth to that. So we finished up on that trip, came back to Sydney, and I spent the next 4 months just learning every single thing that I could about online marketing. This is about 10 years ago now. There were no real courses out at the time. I was doing just free learning online while my girlfriend at the time supported us. What happened was 4 months in, we ended up making 40 cents online that day. And I was jumping around. I was high-fiving. I was exceptionally excited because, we knew then what we know now, which is that the internet can be highly automated and almost infinitely scalable. And the very next day, we turned that 40 cents into $400 and continued on from there. So we what we started in was affiliate marketing. We were driving a lot of traffic to hotel and accommodation websites through SEO that was self-taught. And what happened in terms of setting up the agency was that we continued doing affiliate marketing for years, traveling the world. And then people started seeing us saying, well, if you can do it for your own web assets, surely you can do it for ours. And so then the consulting angle started. And then we moved up from small to medium business up to the biggest companies in the world.
Very, very interesting. So that's a quick version of how you got from there to now over the course of about 10 years. And let's try to unpack that a little bit. So you said that you were you met your girlfriend at the time working at this company. You're in IT. She was in marketing. How did you end up going to, did you quit your jobs and go to Thailand and just kind of, you know, have fun for a bit and then decide that you wanted to do that full time? Or what were kind of the steps there? And how did you, decide that you wanted to make the jump to entrepreneurship? Have you always been an entrepreneur? You know, I've talked to people that they were like buying stuff and flipping it on eBay for a profit, right? Like, were you that kind of story or was this kind of your first go at working for yourself?
Yeah, so we did just sell everything, pack up everything, put things in storage, quit jobs, and bailed basically.
Nice.
And it was awesome. It's the best time I've had. In terms of have I been entrepreneurial? Yes, I've always been entrepreneurial, and I've always been terrible at working for someone else.
Mm. It's a common thing I hear on these conversations.
I know, and the thing is, like, I'd feel bad because I'd be good at doing my job, but I'd do it in a couple of hours in the day, and the rest of the time I'd spend doing my own things. And then I'd feel bad because I was wasting time on company's dollar when they were still kind of happy with me. So anyway, I had a challenge working for someone else, no matter what job I was in.
Yeah.
And there's the whole thing of thinking that I could do things better or different or, not being able to stick within my role. And yeah, so working in a job wasn't for me. And I went through a number of different IT jobs. I was even a full-time firefighter in New South Wales.
No kidding.
Yep. I did a whole range of different things. So when, I've done property investing over the years, renovations, businesses. I've always been wanting to do something that I had more control over than just working for someone else. And so when this opportunity came up, I dived in.
Gotcha. So you're in Thailand and living the dream and then decided you wanted to make that your life. And over the next like number of months, you learned digital marketing and made 40 cents one day and then $400 the next day. So how long did you continue for that? And at what point did you actually get clients, and who was your first client and how did you get them?
Yeah, we did affiliate marketing pretty much full time for about a year. Maybe 18 months. And then, as with most people in affiliate marketing, they'll tell you that it fluctuates wildly in terms of your income levels.
Sure.
Campaigns start working, failing, changing. And I wanted a way to make that a bit more stable. And so I guess our first client was actually just a friend. I had a local plumbing business. And half of it was just wanting to help him. Half of it was wanting to see if we could create a more stable return on investment or income, revenue on an ongoing basis by charging people a retainer per month.
Got it. And so you started off there, and how quickly did you scale up your practice?
We did fairly quickly, actually. We went from small business up to medium business quite quickly. Took on a range, maybe sort of 10 different clients, all at around the 6-7K a month mark.
Yep.
And at the time, so our business has always been set up in a way where we had low overheads, had teams in different places around the world, no central office, the whole remote team, a distributed team set up. So our ability to scale is quite easy. Our ability to continue to move around was absolutely perfect. We actually continued to, we've gone back and lived in Thailand for 2 years, done Europe and a range of different places. So Yeah, we weren't intent on growing the business massively at that point, just enough that we were having a very comfortable digital nomad type life.
Gotcha, cool. And so at what point did you, you know, basically say that you wanted to scale it up and kind of knew that this was what you wanted to do? You're out of the affiliate thing and stuff was a bit more consistent, and this is what you, you know, wanted to do for as far as you could see into the future.
It started coming when people started publicly recognizing the work that we were doing or the contributions, you know, thought leadership side of things. That sort of spurred me on to say, you know, we could do a whole lot more with this. People appreciate the content we're creating and putting out there. Our clients are doing well. You know, let's strive to push up to that next level and start getting some of those bigger companies and continue to grow the agency. And so that's been over the last sort of 3-4 years has worked out really quite well for us.
Nice. So you say thought leadership stuff. Was that blogging? What did that look like?
Yeah, blogging. There's, you know, everyone talks about those advanced guides. I've done a couple of those 30,000-40,000 word guides with Neil Patel sitting on quicksprout.com.
Yep.
There's that, you know, video interviews and starting to talk at conferences, getting involved in Twitter chats and different groups here and there. Different things like that just sort of, you know, built up the opinion in my mind that we should be doing a whole lot more because we're definitely putting out good information.
Gotcha. Totally makes sense. So would you say that has been the biggest catalyst for your agency growth, or what's really, like, you know, taking you from just one or two people and, you know, enabled you now to be a 50-person SEO content marketing agency with offices all around the world?
Yeah, I would say that it was that. For me, I was happy doing the digital nomad lifestyle design type of business for a while, and then it got to a point where the confidence level that we all got by seeing that people were really enjoying what we're putting out there just made us say, all right, that's a catalyst for us. That is it. People respect what we're doing. Clients are appreciative, and so let's just change things up and go for it and really create a bigger business.
Gotcha. So at what point were you, one thing that I've been thinking about recently is, you know, international businesses. So you're in, where are your offices? Australia, you have one in LA, you have one in London, is that right?
Yeah. Brisbane as well. We've got them in Asia, Eastern Europe. We've got teams everywhere.
Jeez, okay. So tell me about the legalities of that. Have you had to form businesses in all those countries, or what's going on there? What have been some of the learnings and challenges and also the good parts of that?
Yeah, the learnings haven't been, the difficulties haven't been around any legalities. The difficulties have been around managing teams with different cultural beliefs and setups and understandings of how to work and how to engage with Western companies. And what I mean by that is that, like I'm sure many people out there, many agencies out there, we initially started thinking we need some virtual assistants. And so we went to different places in India. And this was, you know, many, many years ago, and didn't know what we were doing, just thought, I need an extra pair of hands. And we got the whole, yes, sir, I can do that, yes, sir. And they never delivered or delivered completely wrong. We then had teams in the Philippines where people have just disappeared. The team members have just never responded. They may have struggled with a task and didn't ask for help. They just disappeared and never came back. And that was shocking for me. I was like, well, I don't know why you do that. You could just ask for help. Now, understanding all these different things was something, getting through that and working out how to manage remote teams and how to create processes and systems and proper management structures in place, all of that really changed up what we were doing.
So tell me a little bit more about that. I've been reading the book. The original one was The E-Myth, and now it's the E-Myth Revisited, which is all about, like, creating, you know, scalable businesses. I've been thinking about that for my own business. How have you done that for your business? I mean, if someone, you know, tomorrow was stuck on something and they just walked off the job and didn't come back, like, would your clients be in trouble, or would you be able to just like swap someone else in and keep delivering?
Yeah. Firstly, there's actually another version of that book coming out as well, or another book by the same author soon that I'm reviewing at the moment. So I'm looking
really?
Forward to that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Keep an eye out for it. Michael Gerber, I think. So,
Gerber, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of what we did, so creating the right structure and managerial process really helped us. What we have now is a head of each country that manages the HR as well as direction of workflow to and from. So say we've got teams in the Philippines, we have a head of Philippines. All work that goes to anyone in the Philippines goes to her. Okay. And she makes sure that she has the right resources, number of teams, and knows who's best, et cetera, to handle whatever task. And then that work gets sent back to her. She makes sure it's of the right quality and sends it back to our front of house staff. So the way we're set up is we never had front of house staff that operated out of, I don't know, the developing nations, or you know, however you'd sort of claim it. We don't have clients in the US or Australia or the UK or Canada that deal directly with remote teams in the Philippines or Eastern Europe. We always have our front of house staff in Australia, the US, or the UK.
Got it. So is most of the work being delivered from there, or are the like the front of house staff, as you say, are those more like account managers and such, or are they actually doing, you know, some of the work? Like, are you ever jumping in and, you know, doing a technical audit or something?
No, all technical audits, all grunt work, data analysis, report generation, all of that happens back of house.
Okay.
Once that's delivered, the front of house people are, you know, yes, account managers, but also, you know, technical leads on the job. So what happens is, and this is where we differ a lot from other agencies, I'm well aware of it, but our most important team members are those front of house staff, because they need to technically understand everything and know how to deal with customers as well. And those are our valuable people, our most valuable people, in terms of if we have someone leave on the back end, our systems, documents, processes, and everything else mean that we're not going to notice it.
Got it. So that gets back to that's the answer to my question about, like, you know, how you've set up a scalable, repeatable business that if someone, you know, quits, then, you know, your clients aren't going to feel the difference, because they're dealing with, you know, so-and-so in LA as opposed to so-and-so in, you know, India or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. Very, very cool. And so I'm interested in you said a couple of learnings that you've had. You know, and you know, having to set up these repeatable processes, but you've been working for yourself now for what, 10 years?
Yeah.
So looking back now, what would you have done differently? And that could be like in starting the agency and scaling the agency, like give us a couple war stories.
I think the thing that comes to my mind, which I haven't actually shared with anyone, haven't been asked that kind of question before, is that, in terms of switching between the whole, you know, lifestyle design business to wanting to scale the agency and make it a big proper agency, I waited for a very long time, to a point that I was so completely comfortable that I could answer pretty much any question ever thrown at me that was technical or SEO or content related, and know that I wasn't going to stuff up the answer or look like an idiot in an interview or anything like that. I wanted to absolutely have my craft nailed so that I had the confidence to go out there and, you know, could do interviews and conferences and whatever else with my eyes closed. I believe now I should have done it a lot earlier. And I should have, because we could have grown a lot faster. And just, you know, everyone says, you know, I wanted to have started earlier. That's the same for us. But yeah, I just believe I could have done it a little bit differently. You know, I ask other people the question, what makes an expert? And as far as my answer goes, an expert's someone that just knows more than the people that he's teaching. That person is classified as an expert in that room or in that arena or whatever he's doing. So for me, I didn't need to go so far before I decided to launch in a bigger way. I could have just launched earlier and taken a bit more of a risk.
Got it. Well, and so I guess a question that for you there is, did you want to do that earlier, or was there some sort of like fear or something holding you back from doing it?
Just a personal fear. I didn't want to get up on stage in front of 1,000 people or 5,500 like I did 2 weeks ago and be stumped if there's Q&A or look like an idiot. You know, there was, for me, reputation really mattered. So I wanted to make sure that was fine. So I guess my fear was in that. And, you know, the other thing is I was having a hell of a time just traveling the world and living the way we were. So that there was no sort of push or drive at that point.
totally gotcha. And so you have a co-founder or a couple co-founders with Lotter Online?
One co-founder, that was my girlfriend at the time I referred to, who is now my wife.
Okay, cool. I wasn't gonna ask that, but cool. Now your wife. So the epic adventures you two have had. And so is she still involved in the business?
Yeah, she's our CMO. She takes care of all things marketing and does a fantastic job marketing for our business.
Yep, totally. Okay, cool. And so when did you, what was the first position that you hired within your agency?
First position were the poorly executed virtual assistant type positions. Just offsiders, just people to do this, to fill in this report, do this sort of work. When there were only, enough clients that I could still be involved on the account management side of things.
Okay.
All I wanted was help building these reports, which were just repeatable information that anyone could do.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. And then at what point did you start like hiring people, you know, in person or whatever, like in your office?
Yeah, the account management people were the first from there, and that happened when probably we were at about 9 or 10 accounts, and you know of quite considerable size, sort of 7-8K a month accounts. Yeah. They need a whole lot of loving at that point, and just more than I could handle on my own. So started getting technical help first, then started getting accounts help from there.
Got it. So technical SEO help.
Yeah, just, you know, the virtual assistant type people or the back of house, I've referred to them as.
Yep. Okay, cool. So where are you going from here? What's next for Lotter Online? What's the do you have, you know, goals for it? Do you want to grow it to 500 people from 50 people? Like what's the big picture here?
My goals are more, I like the reputation side. I want to have a strong reputation in the industry that we're known for doing great things, great thought leadership and great results. In terms of company size, we don't need to scale massively. I want steady growth, steady controlled growth that happens through a range of different channels for us, inbound, outbound, conferences, partnerships.
Yep.
And if that's happening for us, then we're all good. We want to just keep getting the biggest companies in the world like we have and proving we know what we're doing.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. And so looking back over your last 10 years working for yourself, you already said that, you know, you're a bad employee and always want to be doing other things and, you know, probably always have to be right, just like I do. what would it take to get you to go back to work for someone else again?
I've considered this. It would, the things that matter for me is I'd have to have flexibility in terms of work location and work hours. I'd want to be just judged based on my results.
Yep.
So that'd be the first thing. And the second thing is, I love what I do and I love working in this industry, but working in this industry as an employee, I've never seen a salary that can match being a company owner in this industry. So that's a struggle for me because I'd want a sizable salary too. So there you go. Sizable salary and flexibility to be judged on my outcomes and not work hours.
Gotcha. So, I mean, it basically sounds like, Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be like a C level or something like that, or a co-founder or whatever. So, instead of an employee.
And you know, that would likely, if I ever did, that would likely be the case. You know, I have been head of this company for 10 years and worked with the biggest companies in the world and got great results for them. So I can't see myself going in at any lower position than what I'm at. It'd just be a similar position in a bigger company, I guess.
Totally. Would you ever think about launching, your own product or something, and not in the marketing world, or you just love the marketing world and want to stay in it?
I love the marketing world at the moment. I want to stay in it. I'm sure, I've done websites that are outside of the industry that we've gone and marketed ourselves and seen good results in. I like the idea of multiple streams of income coming in different ways, using our services instead of selling our services. And in terms of a product, it's sort of a product. We've got a course that's going to come out in the very near future.
Nice.
I'm actively working on, and I'm very excited about that. So I like the idea of multiple streams of income.
Cool. I love it. I love it. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. I think it's early in the morning your time on Wednesday, and you probably have a full day ahead of you and getting towards the end of the day here in New York City, where I currently am. What final words of wisdom would you have to give to someone that is either thinking about going and starting their doing consulting on their own, or if they've been doing it for a bit and they're thinking about scaling it up and hiring people, what would you tell them?
For me, the challenges that existed initially seem like they don't really disappear. In the first challenges where I wanted more clients, and the challenge now is I still want more clients, and I'm always going to want more clients. So I believe if you I believe if you can nail down your acquisition process and be able to constantly bring on new clients of the right sort of size, and you have that process just taken care of. The other stuff for me, the operations, was the easy stuff. So it's you can't build a business by having great operations and no clients, but you can build a business by having clients and then working out how to do the operations.
Got it. So basically, don't be afraid to bring on bring on some more clients, and feel the cracks in the operations a little bit. You can th That's the stuff that you can figure out. But actually figuring out how to get clients, providing value to them, is how you actually build a profitable and sustainable business in the marketing world.
Exactly. Bite off more than you can chew and chew like crazy.
I love it. I love it. When I started at Distilled years ago, Tom Critchlow said, he's like, "I'm throwing you in the deep end. You got to swim." That's how it goes. I love it. Cool. Well,
Exactly.
yeah, Aaron, thank you so much for joining me here on the Credo Cast, and I really appreciate you taking the time. And best of luck with Louder Online, and I know you guys are going to crush it.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, and keep up the good work with your service. It's going really well.
Cheers.